Easy. Easy. They spook very easily. Don't scare them. Shh. We're watching these Senate Democrats because we've had a rumor today that some of them are actually developing a spine. I know. Shh. Don't laugh out loud. You'll run them off. It's true. Oh, aren't they? Now, isn't that one a beauty? Look at him. Calling the Senate into a closed-door session without the permission of cat killer Bill Frist. Oh, my goodness. This is something very, very special. It's not every day you see a Senate Democrat stand up on his own hind legs and walk about. Crikeys! Oh, this one's one for the record books. More are following him. Look at that. My goodness gracious, we've got several Democrats who have apparently grown spines before our very eyes.
Hey, good evening. I am Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's about 10 minutes past the hour. I thought you might appreciate a little trip into wild, wild Washington. What an interesting day. What a very interesting day. We saw Harry Reid, the minority leader in the Senate, finally coming to grips with just exactly what kind of godless, motherless, soulless punks he's dealing with in the majority. And we saw him play a card on Bill Frist that left Bill Frist rocked back on his cat-killing heels. It was rather inspiring, really. Weren't you inspired? Because there was ever so much strategery involved with all of this. This was a little senatorial procedural onion with layer after layer after layer. Because, as I noted, Senate Minority Leader Harry Reid, give him hell, Harry, simply stood up and said, I move to invoke Rule 21, and somebody was there, Johnny on the spot, second! And all business had to be suspended, the sergeant-at-arms had to clear the room, the galleries had to be cleared, all the little functionaries had to be run out, and the Senate went into a closed-door session. This has real potential. And it was a nice little way of saying, look, George, I know you want to think about and talk about everything, but the fact that for the first time in 138 years, a sitting member of the presidential administration has been indicted. We know you want to talk about everything. You want to talk about Sammy the Breath Alito. We understand that. We know that you've flown off and you want to talk about bird flu today. We know that. We know that you want to talk about anything and everything except about how base, how corrupt, how dirty, how filthy, how rotten, how nasty, how disgusting your administration is. But, so says Senator Reid, we're not going to let you. We're going to call the Senate into a closed-door session, and we're going to talk about why the Republican majority that has had low these months upon months upon months upon months upon months to complete phase two of their investigation on the faulty intelligence and the lies that upon which this filthy little war was predicated, why they haven't completed their report yet. We're going to talk about that. And what's more, they'll talk about it every day from now till hell freezes over, if they feel like it. Oh, it was a glorious thing to behold. And the hissy Oh, the ugly little hissy fit that Cat Killer frisked through. That feline vivisectionist. He was shocked, 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 I tell you, shocked. Oh, my goodness. Did you hear that?
I'll have to say, not with the previous Democratic leader or the current Democratic leader have ever I been slapped in the face with such an affront to the leadership of this grand institution. Every other time, and again, we'll have to go back and look at the history, there has been
consideration
for the other side of the aisle before a stunt, and this is a pure stunt, that is being performed by Senator Reid, Senator Durbin, and their leadership.
Oh, we'll play that again. We will, but not right now. Right now, we got to go to a break. So let me remind you again, the phone numbers. Yeah, and everything's fixed up and ready to rock and roll. The phone number's 304-658-3333. Ever so much easier to remember. 304-658-3333 or 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. Email to Bob at headonradio.com or Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, at headonradio.com. We make it easy. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
Welcome back. Almost 19 minutes past the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. Somebody's feeling kind of dark tonight, I think. The bumper music's running a little low, minor chordish, minor keyish. So, in all seriousness, it was energizing, it was inspiring to see Senate Democrats stand up on their hind legs against these punks and these thugs. And for those of you who aren't familiar with the program, there is a moniker that we use for these bloody little Republican terrorists in the Congress, and Republicans in general. We call them the Stump Licker Bunch around here, and that stems back to an old Southern tradition. After the sorghum making, molasses making, the leavings were left in an old hollow stump, and they tended to ferment, and they got really nasty, and you could get blind, stupid, mean, crazy drunk on the stuff. And it was called Stump Licker. And this is that gang. These Republicans are mean, hurtful, nasty, violent. My God, they've killed 100,000 Iraqi civilians. How much more proof do you need that they are mean and nasty and hateful and violent? But that's the Stump Licker Bunch, and Harry Reid stood up to the Stump Licker Bunch today, and just like any bully, when the victim finally balls up his fist and drives it into the bully's stinking nose, they cry. Let's hear Bill Frist cry again.
Not with the previous Democratic leader or the current Democratic leader have ever I been slapped in the face with such an affront to the leadership of this grand institution.
Listen to him, he's rattled.
Every other time, and again, we'll have to go back and look at the history, there has been at least consideration for the other side of the aisle before a stunt, and this is a pure stunt, that is being performed by Senator Reid, Senator Durbin, and their leadership.
So let's see, let's review, shall we? It's a stunt if a Democrat wants to finally, Lord God, Billy Bob, finally start trying to get to the bottom of the damned, filthy, bloody lies that were perpetrated in order to start this hateful little war. That's a stunt. That's a stunt. On the end, when rules are suspended well past their normal usage in order to give other Republicans time to get in and vote for a controversial bill, well, that's just business as usual with this criminal crowd, right? You see what's... And someone... I don't have the sound from it. I apologize. We're still working on that aspect of the studio. But I heard some reporter ask Harry Reid,
well, why didn't you at least consult with Senator Frist?
And he turned a baleful, withering gaze... Or maybe glaze, for all I know, gaze on that reporter and said, are you out of your tiny mind? If I'd clued that thug into what we were going to do, he would have had a quorum call, and that would have been the end of it. You got to understand, Frist doesn't want the White House's treasonous lies exposed. No Republican wants the treasonous lies of the White House exposed. Because they rode in on dear leaders' coattails, and they will, by God, ride out on them too. And they know it. And like I said, there is an onion aspect to all of this. If the Democrats in the Senate were to do this for a few days running, you do realize what it would lead to on the part of the Republicans, don't you? That's right. It would compel the Republicans to filibuster. to filibuster in order to stop the Democratic attempt to get to the bottom of the filth that is the Iraq War. Now, having forced the Republicans to filibuster that, won't they look silly, triggering silly hell? They'll look, of course they will. They'll look hypocritical when they trigger the nuclear option if we should decide to filibuster against Sammy the Breath Alito. You know, we were thinking about a nickname for Sammy the Breath last night, and that's what I've come up with. Sammy the Breath. Sammy the Puff. Why? Well, I went to an Italian-English dictionary today, and I typed in Alito, and the English translation is breath, or puff. Alito has the same root as halitosis. Alito. Breath. Puff. So he's Sammy the Breath, or Sammy the Puff, Alito. And he is an ill wind that breathes across our judiciary. So anyway, Sammy, so the nuclear to stop us, Philip, this hateful little man, the entire nation's going to see them for the hypocritical freaks that they are. I think they sense that they're on the way out anyway. My God, they have had 5 years to enact their hateful little agenda, and look what they've done to us. Look what they have done. They have a deficit that would make Reagan blush. And these are the fiscally responsible people. Right? Right. So it's all in place, isn't it? It's all right there before our eyes. And tonight, although I've been less than enchanted with Harry Reid in the past, he may actually be a pretty smart guy. He played the Harriet Myers card to perfection. Came right out the day she was nominated. I love her! And that so threw the right-wing religion industry into a tizzy that they came apart at the seams trying to be the first to hate Harriet the most. And now the battle line is drawn. And we'll talk about Sammy the Breath here in a little bit. Right now, though, we've got to take a break. The phone number is 304-658-3333 or 877, number 4, Head On, 877-443-2366. This is Head On. Get on the horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is, to use energy wisely, log on to energyhog.org, or, a switch in time, save swine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F4 twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
It's a mistake. It's a mistake.
Welcome back. Oh, let's see. Yeah, 23 and a half. 24 and a half. No, 23 and a half. Yeah, what a... It's hour 34 and a half, okay? I'm not so good at math on the fly. What are we going to do? This is Head On. You know that. I'm Bob Kincaid. And email reminder, bob@headonradio.com, agnes@headonradio.com, A-G-N-E-S. Now, Sammy the Breath Alito. We didn't, we just sort of took it as read as we discussed him last night. The fact that, he's not any too crazy about women's rights. I mean, this is a guy who believes a woman should have to ask the man who has beaten her and raped her or impregnated her needs to ask his permission for an abortion. Whew. Yeah, great guy. But in the Planned Parenthood versus Casey decision, in which the Supreme Court of the United States overturned an Alito decision, the decision in particular where Alito ruled that a woman should have to ask her husband's permission to go to the doctor, Sandra Day O'Connor was part and parcel of the writing of that opinion. She co-authored it. And here's what she had to say about Sammy the Breath's reasoning process. Section 3209's husband notification provision constitutes an undue burden and is therefore invalid. A significant number of women will likely be prevented from obtaining an abortion just as surely as if Pennsylvania had outlawed the procedure entirely, which, of course, was what Pennsylvania meant to do. The fact that Section 3209 may affect fewer than 1% of women seeking abortions does not save it from facial invalidity, since the proper focus of constitutional inquiry is the group for whom the law is a restriction, not the group for whom it is irrelevant. Isn't that just elegantly said? Furthermore, it cannot be claimed that the father's interest in the fetus's welfare is equal to the mother's protected liberty, since it is a capable logical fact that a woman's bodily and biological fact that state regulation with respect to the fetus will have a far greater impact on the pregnant woman's bodily integrity than it will on the husband. That's fancy legalese for telling men that until they grow a uterus, they need to shut up! But here's the good part. Section 3209 embodies a view, listen carefully, Section 3209 embodies a view of marriage consonant with the common law status of married women, but repugnant to this court's present understanding of marriage and of the nature of the rights secured by the Constitution. Now, if you're Sammy the Breath Alito, that is Sandra Day O'Connor just backhanding you. I mean, she reached all the way back into the wild, desolate, barren, arid wastes of Arizona, whence she comes with that backhand, and came roaring all the way to eastern Pennsylvania and just rat slapped him. Now, how can I say that? I can say that by this. Section 3209 embodies a view of marriage consonant with the common law status of married women. Any guesses out there what that means? I'm lucky. I'm doing a liberal progressive talk radio program, so therefore I know that you've all got the answer already. You know what it means when Sandra Day O'Connor writes, Section 3209 embodies a view of marriage consonant with the common law status of married women. What that means is Section 3209, that repugnant, that constitutionally repugnant portion, is the same as the status of women back when they were the property of their husbands. You know, the oldie English common law. That common law status of married women. Section 3209 that Sammy the Breath Alito would uphold is the same thing as sending women back to the day when their husbands could beat them just as if, just the same, in the same way that they could beat their slaves. Or impregnate their slaves. Or rape their slaves. Or confine their slaves. So, I want to make absolutely crystal clear what we are dealing with when we're talking about Samuel Alito. We're talking about a man who looks at his own wife as property. Now, I promise you, sitting here in the Head On Radio studios, I am within a throat grab of my lovely wife. And if I looked across at her and I said, I own you, no. No, it wouldn't fly. And I would not dare go to sleep that night. But there are in this country, there is this weird little knot, this boiling little festering wad of serpents and vipers and adders and asps that is the religious right, and they still believe that. You know, they hang on to that stuff, oh, what's it say in there about women should be silent in church, and if they have any questions, they should wait till they get home and ask their husbands about them. Because they're too darn stupid to figure it out for themselves. When you talk about telling a woman that she cannot do as she pleases with her own body, that's what it is on the front end. But underlying it all, just like skimming the scum off the top of a swamp, it's swamp underneath too, but that's where all the really vile stuff is. And the vile stuff that underpins the idea that a woman should have to ask her husband permission to get an abortion, the very underpinning of all of that is that the man, by definition, is better than the woman. The man is of higher value than the woman. And that the man is, in fact, the owner of the woman. That's not hyperbole. That's not exaggeration. That is the way these hateful, backward, antediluvian people think. Right? You know it's right. So, just a review. Samuel Alito believes that men should own women. Samuel Alito supports strip searching 10-year-old little girls. That's all we really need to know, isn't it? We'll take a break, and there's more. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I never thought I'd change my opinion again, but you moved me in a way that I've never known. But you moved me in a way that I've never known. But straight away you just moved into position again. You abused me in a way that I've never known. You abused me in a way that
I'm just a kid.
I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm
4 and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kids, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Head on for a Tuesday night, the first day of November 2005, 12 minutes before the hour. And just in case you thought that because I've heard and I've seen some discussion on so-called moderate Republicans and the fact that, you know, they might come down against Alito because the guy's a fascist freak. Well, nah. Senator Mike DeWine, who was part of the so-called Gang of 14 that helped get Janice Rogers Brown and Priscilla Owen on the bench, for crying out loud. Samuel Alito, he says, is, quote, clearly within the mainstream and should not be filibustered. Really? Really, Senator DeWine? A guy who approves of the warrantless strip searching of a 10-year-old girl is within the mainstream. A guy whose beliefs in the relations between men and women are so archaic as to be beyond Neanderthal is in the mainstream. I don't know about you, but I don't want in any stream that Mike DeWine is in, because it's apparently full of toxic goo that rots minds and it carries civilization back thousands upon thousands of years. Look, I don't want to live in a world where some humans are the property of other humans. I don't want to participate in a process whereby little 10-year-old girls can be strip-searched on a whim by the cops. I don't want to be part of an America where racial bias can be used to deny employment to people. Do you? Do you? I don't think so. So, Mike DeWine. Samuel Alito is clearly within the mainstream. Where in the hell did he get that? Has no one showed him the Grudy decision? Has no one shown him Planned Parenthood versus Casey? And the list of other cases that I mentioned last night? Has no one shown these to Mike DeWine? Or is it possible that this is the answer? Is it that for all of their carping and crying and moaning and groaning about how Democrats are partisan, could it be, is there just a remote possibility that it might be that the Republicans are the ones who are the partisans? That the Republicans are the ones who always, first and foremost, will, without fail, put party over people each and every time? Could it be that that is the issue?
Say, not with the previous Democratic leader or the current Democratic leader have ever I been slapped in the face with such an affront to the leadership of this grand institution.
Well, get used to it, Bill.
Every other time, and again, we'll have to go back and look at the history, there has been at least consideration for the other side of the aisle before
bug spray.
This is a pure stunt. This is being performed by Senator Reid, Senator Durbin, and their leadership.
That cat-killing freak got caught with his pants down. He wasn't paying attention. He's not much of a leader to begin with. The only thing he knows how to do is diagnose brain-dead vegetable women by videotape, for God's sakes. And Mike DeWine says Alito is part of the mainstream. Is he? Now, in your homes, in your neighborhoods, look around. Do you know many people who believe in one group of people owning another? Because that is Mike DeWine's mainstream. Those of you who have children, or know people who have children, do the parents, do they approve of strip searching little 10-year-old girls for no stated reason? Because the people who do believe in that, according to Mike DeWine, are in the mainstream. As God is my witness, I tell you, if Mike DeWine is right, and that is mainstream thinking in America today, the stream is toxic. The stream is toxic. Now, Tim Johnson, who is from South Dakota, he's a Democrat. He's trying to find his spine. He was asked about a filibuster, and he said, "I would leave all those options on the table." Still doesn't have quite enough guts to say this guy is a monster and has no business sitting in judgment over the rest of us. But it's a start. Senator Dick Durbin says we shouldn't rush to judgment. When the judgment is right in front of you, is making that judgment a rush? How much more do we need to know about Samuel Alito than the fact that this man has authored decisions that would allow his very own teenage daughter to be stripped by the police if she were in the wrong place at the wrong time? That man is not... My God, he's barely... He might not even be fit to be a parent. He is certainly not fit to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States of America. DeWine went on today and he said he wouldn't support a Democratic filibuster. Well, hell no, he's a Republican. They will follow party over people every time. This is a nomination of a judge who is clearly within the mainstream of conservative thought. Ah, there it is! He's not in the mainstream of America. He's not in the mainstream with you and me. He's not in the mainstream of the brown beans and cornbread crowd. Hell no! He's in the mainstream of conservative thought. And the mainstream of conservative thought is, I don't know, filled with the lysergic acid. Because conservative thought, well, hell, it's a contradiction in terms, isn't it? What Senator DeWine meant to say is that Samuel Alito is in the mainstream of conservative hate. Hates women, hates little girls. Well, little girls grow up to be women, you know, nits make lice. I'll grant him, now, he may be in the mainstream of conservative thought. But the mainstream of conservative thought is not the mainstream from whence was birthed this republic. The phone number, of course, 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366, 304-658-3333, email to Bob at headonradio.com. You set them up, I'll knock them down. This is Head On, I'm Bob Kincaid.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Don't you know I need a little indulgence? Well, listen to the hunt becoming hunted. Every day there's a million advances. Don't be too forced when your chances. Well, don't you know that time is a broken glass? The strength is against the wall. But the picture's coming back now, baby.
Must have the past we've known and reap together the wild seeds we've sown. Surely they can forgive us and find that we must have been out of our minds. I thought I loved another, not you.
Oh, how foolish I thought the same too.
They both turned out to be the wrong kind. Oh, we must have been out of our minds. Yes, we must have been out of our minds.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Welcome back. Coming up on 6 minutes after the hour. A little drizzly here. Hope it's better for you where you are. But you're going to have that in early November, and I should take a moment now because I would darn sure be highly remiss if I didn't. And wish my father a very, very happy 81st birthday. I admire him, words are no justice. But I was thinking about what he's done with his 81 years and what I hope he does with the many more to come. In 81 years, and beginning in, the 1948 presidential election, my father, World War II veteran, water tender below the waterline of a very famous American aircraft carrier in the Second World War. Beginning with the presidential election in 1948, his first presidential election, my father has done the right thing every time since then. Harry Truman, Adlai Stevenson, John Kennedy, LBJ, Hubert Humphrey, on and on. He has never, ever betrayed the trust his nation placed in him by voting for some godless, motherless, soulless Republican. Didn't vote for Nixon, didn't vote for Ford, didn't vote for Reagan, hasn't voted for either one of the Bush punks. His is a legacy to be admired and learned from, and I wish him the happiest of birthdays, and God knows I owe him more than words can ever express or money could ever denominate. Happy birthday, Dad. Let's go to the phones. Reminder, the phone number again, 877.
Comment stories on NBC also.
Good, good.
Yeah, it was perfect. I always like to check out the evening news because there's so many people that if they don't see it on the evening news, then it didn't happen.
Yeah, for all the so-called prominence of Fox and CNN and the others, most of America still tunes into one of the big three to get their evening information.
Yes, they do, and you know this whole thing had Rove written all over it. You know, yesterday when they announced what are they calling him? It's not Scalia, Scaluda.
Scalito.
Yeah, Scalito. Okay, so they announced that well before dawn. I mean, you know, like way early in the morning before the chickens are up. With
I know. The town crier was out at 3 o'clock. Scalito nominated.
Right,
and things ain't quite so well.
It was obvious. It was just Rove tried to take over the news cycle. And they were going to do it again today, and they were not completely out of their little thrones. It couldn't have been better.
And the timing of it, this was going down, what, 2, 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
It was late.
That was perfect. That was perfect for the Washington Press Corps because it was before the martini. It was before the martini rush started.
I didn't think of that.
And yet, late in the day enough that it wouldn't mean they had to scurry around Capitol Hill all day long. Harry Reid made it easy for him.
He did. It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And you know, I hope to God he'll do it every. You know, if I don't know if he'll do it again tomorrow, or if he'll wait 2 weeks. They say they're going to come back with some report in 2 weeks. But you know, there's. I don't think there's any way they can work around this. Somebody or somewhere I read today, the only way to get around it maybe is if the Republicans did a filibuster. Can you
precisely?
Is that it? Is that the way it would work? They would have to do a filibuster to stop it?
Well, that or either they're going to have to quorum call every time they let a Democrat stand up.
Oh, and I got to tell you, thank you so much for the opening segment. I needed that laugh so bad.
I couldn't resist.
You really got me, I'll tell you, because I had just burst out laughing because it was so funny, and then instantly, as soon as I laughed, you start going, you'll scare them. It was so funny that I was rolling on the floor.
Oh, that's what makes radio so much fun, Peter.
Oh, man, I appreciated that so much. I really needed that.
Well, it's awful good to hear from you, Peter.
Well, it's good to talk to you, and you know, I love you, Guy. I wish you well in the show, and you're doing a hell of a job.
Well, I appreciate that. For heaven's sakes, tell your friends and neighbors.
Well, yes, and compliments to your wife, too. The other night she played this song about Athens and Paris and some other little town. It was like a little wedding song or something. It was, it was a hoot. I wish you'd do it again.
What was that song?
I can't remember.
Oh, Life in a Northern Town?
Was that it? Something about we're not jet set. No,
we're not the jet set. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I love that album. That's John Prine and all of his favorite, what he calls girl singers.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's called In Spite of Ourselves, and some of the great female country vocalists are on there. Melba Montgomery, Iris DeMent, wonderful stuff.
Man, that was a major hoot. Anyway, thank you so much.
Well, Peter, you take care. I hope we'll hear from you again soon.
You too, buddy. Take care.
All right, bye now.
Bye.
All right, time for a break. Let's see. Yeah, we got some Iris. Wasteland, Iris DeMent. See if you can find it. This is Head On. It's quarter past the hour, quarter past eight here on the Right Coast. The phone numbers, Peter knows how to pick up the phone. You learn it. You know how to. 877, the number 4, Head On. That's 877-443-2366, 304-658-3333. That's us, Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Once upon a time, in a small cottage, lived a boy named Chuck. One day, Chuck heard a knock from inside the wall.
Who is it?
He cried, for Chuck cried rather easily.
It is I, the energy hog, over here,
said a voice. Now, an energy hog is what you have when people waste energy. Chuck ran to tell his family.
There's a hog in our house!
Exclaimed Chuck.
That's no way to talk about your Aunt Melba,
said his mother, and sent him to his room.
That does it,
said Chuck. He raced to his computer and logged on to energyhog.org.
I'll just have to get rid of it myself.
At energyhog.org, Chuck played cool games and learned to use energy wisely. He learned that by switching to better light bulbs, he had the power to rid the cottage of the evil energy hog forever.
I'm leaving, but I shall return,
vowed the hog.
Don't count on it, bacon breath,
vowed Chuck. And the moral of the story is to use energyhog.org or a switch in time twine.
This public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
November is National Lung Cancer Awareness Month. Lung cancer is the nation's leading cause of cancer death, killing more than breast, prostate, colon, and skin cancer combined. Early detection of lung cancer, when it's most treatable, is key to survival. New screening methods such as CAT scans are being used in clinical trials. Learn your risk and the symptoms of lung cancer. Smoking is the major risk, but you can develop lung cancer even if you don't smoke. Coughing, wheezing, and fatigue are just a few of the symptoms that are often confused with less serious conditions. Treatment may include surgery, radiation treatments, chemotherapy, or one of several interventional radiology procedures. Discuss treatment options with your doctor. For more information on lung cancer risk, symptoms, detection, and treatment, visit www.radiologyinfo.org. That's radiologyinfo.org. This health reminder from the Radiological Society of North America.
Tornadoes have been reported in several neighboring states.
Small business owner Jonathan Harlan of Jackson, Tennessee.
Living in Tornado Alley, you kind of get used to dealing with them. You just pray one doesn't hit your area. Late Sunday night, just before midnight, an F-4 Twister touched down in Jackson, leveling our downtown. There was nothing left of our building, just piles of bricks and concrete. We lost everything. Fortunately, backup systems were in place. Employees knew what to do and worked from other locations. Because we were prepared, our clients never knew the difference.
Whether it's a natural disaster or a terrorist attack, every business needs an emergency plan. A plan can save lives, company assets, and your entire business at little or no cost to your company. You can't control what happens, but you can be prepared. Visit www.ready.gov today. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
I fell in love with you in a small cafe in Athens. You said you loved me too.
And it was April in Paris when I first held you close to me.
Rome, Georgia.
Athens, Texas. And Paris, Tennessee. No, we're not the jet set. We're the old Chevrolet set. There's no river.
If they could work in some beans and cornbread into that lyric, it'd just be perfect. John Prine is a favorite of mine. Almost 20 minutes after the hour, this is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. And the irony was so thick you could cut it with a knife this afternoon. Peter is absolutely right. It was, oh, Lordy. It was glorious to watch Bill Frist have that conniption. And if you saw, the footage, I was watching on CNN. But standing there behind him with that creepy pod person gaze was Rick Sanctum Santorum. He who plays with fetuses. Yeah, really, not kidding. But the apoplexy was apparent. I don't think Frist and that crowd were faking it. That gang of bullies got punched in the nose for the very first time, and they were absolutely rocked on their heels. They were so used to Democrats laying down, being spineless, being jellyfish, being something from before the flood, that they thought they had that dog kicked down, but good. But that's the law of kicked dogs. Sooner or later, a kicked dog will bite. And it bit today. And to hear Bill Frist moaning and groaning about how Senate precedent had been trod upon with this stunt, and it's nothing but a stunt. I tell you, it's a stunt. Harry Reid and that Dick Durbin, that it's a stunt. I swear, if I'd closed my eyes for a moment, I would have sworn it was Boss Hogg talking. But the fact of the matter is, it was hollow. Their complaints were hollow.
I'll have to say, not with the previous Democratic leader or the current Democratic leader have ever I been slapped in the face with such an affront to the leadership of this grand institution.
The only shame in that is
every other
been
time,
slapped.
You know, we'll have to go back and look at the history. There has been at least consideration for the other side of the aisle before a stunt, and this is a pure stunt, that is being performed by Senator Reid, Senator Durbin, and their leadership.
Really? Now, he said we'd have to look back at the history. Apparently, my memory is just a little bit better than the cat killers. because I seem to remember months ago, just a few months. I seem to remember just a few months ago when this gang of bullies, this gang of punk thugs, was going to turn 200 years of Senate precedent on its ear. They were willing to throw the rules of the Senate out the window and go stomp on them and then set them on fire. If a Democrat dared filibuster a right-wing monster by the name of Janice Rogers Brown, the ex-Maoist, or dared filibuster a right-wing monster named Priscilla Owens, who helped kill a little boy by delaying his case in the Texas courts. Am I wrong in that? Do I remember that right? Yeah, I do. So, you know, as far as I'm concerned, I don't have any sympathy for Senator Frist. I don't have any sympathy for this man whose family rakes in money hand over fist doing abortions in the nation's largest privately owned hospital chain. No sympathy at all. We'll have to look at the history. No, Bill, we don't have history. All we got to do is look at the newspapers from a few months back to see what you were willing to do to 200 years of Senate tradition.
Wait a minute. You just said that he and his family perform abortions?
No, HCA, Hospital Corporation of America.
He owns that?
That's his family. My God, he insider traded about the buku bajillion dollars worth of shares, sold them out before the stock tanked on insider information just a couple of months ago.
But I thought he was pro-life.
Well, at least until, he's pro-life until it gets in the way of the bank book, honey.
It's all about the green.
Yeah.
Okay.
Holy Republican communion. It's all about the green. Fetuses, little babies out of the womb, old people, hungry people. It's all about the money. You'll notice they're still talking about making the tax cuts permanent at the same time that they're cutting $844 million out of the food stamp budget. So, no, I'm not going to get real broken up about Bill Frist. This stunt, they've trampled on Senate tradition. There was at least some courtesy for the other side before they had this stunt. Really, where the hell was the courtesy for the other side when they were going to destroy the filibuster that they had used to such great effect against Bill Clinton's judicial nominees? Huh? Where was it? Nowhere to be found, that's where. Oh, ye generation of vipers, ye Republicans. Hey, we're half done. Get your licks in on the other half. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. And supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and coast guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding,
It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev. Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs?
Sure about that?
Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, hi. How you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Living in this wasteland of the free, we got preachers dealing in politics and diamond mines.
back. 27 minutes before the hour. Yeah, we're halfway done with this Tuesday night edition. And ample opportunity yet for you to get involved with the show. You know, you got a phone, you got a voice. Otherwise, you sit, you bottle it up, or, you know, maybe you've got a friend you can talk to who, you know, who thinks the same way you do. Or, you know, maybe you can get it out. There are at least a few more ways than there used to be of getting it, the bottled up poisonous stuff, keeping it from poisoning you. When you see the horrors that are visited upon us day after day after day. Get it out of your system. That's what this is all about. You know, my God, George Bush's bird flu speech today. I really did expect him to come out and say, well, we're going to inoculate every chicken in the world. And there's an element of it, and I know you. It's probably run across your mind, too, because of all the problems they're having. You know, if you'll use the possible pandemic to divert attention from the crimes of your own administration, it makes one suspect of what of the real threat of that pandemic. But there was a doctor from the UN whose job is investigating bird flu that I caught today on one of the networks, and he said, "It's no joke." You know, a flu-infected bird was found in what, Turkey? One in Canada, yeah. And so, you know, and the information is so conflicting out there. And so George is going to spend $7.1 billion over God knows how much time. When we're doing that every other, we do that once a week in Iraq. For stuff that doesn't even do them any good. We spend $7 billion in a week, week and a half, 2 weeks, blowing stuff up. Aircraft from one of our aircraft carriers in the Gulf right now have flown over 200 sorties in the last week against western Iraq, the no man's land by the Syrian border. Syria is Arabic for Laos, okay? Syria is Arabic for Cambodia. Brad Friedman of Brad Blog and The Brad Show was with us last night, and he mentioned, and I went and saw the counter he's got. He's got a Nixon-Bush counter up at the top of the page at bradblog.com. It's a countdown all the way to the seconds until George Bush turns in to Richard Nixon. And I forget who, maybe it was Brad last night, mentioned the idea, the concept of hubris. That these monsters in the White House, in the Republican Party, are filled with hubris. And if you know your ancient Greek history or theory of drama even, you know that hubris, the way the ancient Greeks conceptualized it, it was such that you had it and you didn't know you had it. Sort of the emotional or intellectual equivalent of a disease of some sort, where it eats you away and destroys you without you even knowing it. And that really does apply to this bunch, doesn't it? They don't realize they're the Nixon administration writ large in the 21st century. They don't realize it, and yet they're staring straight into the light of an onrushing train, and they think it's the dawn of a new day rushing toward them. So yeah, we're going to spend $7.1 billion on the bird flu. Don't know how, really, we don't know how, we're just going to do it. No plans. We'll probably take a faith-based approach. Wonder how many prayer cloths $7.1 billion would buy. From Dr. Dobson and Dr. Falwell and Dr. Robertson and Dr. Kennedy.
One thing I have to say is that they're not Republicans, they're not Democrats, they're not anything. These people are a breed of their own. So, you can't classify these people as being part of the religious sect because they've taken it to a new height. There are good people out there. There are people who are of the Republican Party that are good people. There are Christians out there who are good people.
Listen, you have defended, and I'm not being mean. You've drawn that distinction. I've drawn it a million times myself.
But the prayer cloth, the things of that nature, you know, when someone has their hand out asking you for money for God, something's wrong.
Sure. We're not talking about real Christians. We're talking about the religion industry. But we don't know what approach the Bush administration will take toward the bird flu. But we do know that because it's the Bush administration taking the approach, it will, I'd say 9 to 10 to 1 odds, it will be the wrong approach. Oh yeah, we're going to spend a Brazilian dollars in Africa. What's the capital of Africa? Going to spend a Brazilian dollars in Africa on AIDS. Has any of that money been spent yet? Let's go to line 2. Hey, you're head on.
Well, thank you, Bob. Thank you, Bob.
How's it going, David?
It's going very well, and the chimp in charge is talking about bird flu today. Now,
yeah.
Now, all right. Now I got to take you to task.
Okay. What have I done?
You've made an error. It's a grievous error. It's just Bob. Normally, you've got these things pretty well nailed down.
Oh no, I hate being wrong.
The president didn't say he was going to spend. He didn't say he was going to see to it that we appropriate. He didn't say he was going to see to it that we committed. I'm recommending we spend $7.51 Brazilian dollars just. As I think I heard you mention as I was coming onto the air, he recommended that we spend some very large number, very encouraging, to the poor Africans that are begging for help in the area. It's a recommendation. It's not really worth the breath it's written on.
It's wrestling.
It's wrestling, Bob. And please let us just take a moment and try to connect a few dots here, just like he did in Africa, and recommending that we pledge, sort of, kind of, 15-some-odd Brazilian dollars to Africa. You know, there's one little point that this bird flu thing is contingent upon.
Okay.
It's the commitment of Asian chickens to just say no and not have sex.
$7.1 Brazilian dollars for an Asian chicken abstinence program.
And that'll stop this invasion of these evil little viruses right in their dead blame little yellow fella track.
Oh.
The man is such an idiot.
Well,
and the only reason he's bringing this up is he doesn't want America to remember 2,000 plus a few in cold clay graves. He doesn't want America to remember 150,000 round numbers, ours and theirs, dead or no arms or no eyes or no legs. He doesn't want us to remember that Halliburton stock is off the scale for profitability. He doesn't want us to remember that Exxon Mobil just recorded in one quarter, that 3 months out of a year, $10 billion with a big old B, dollars in profit, not sales, profit. He doesn't want us to think about that. He wants to think about his commitment to prevent us from dying of the flu 3 years from now. In the meanwhile, you know, it's all going down the flush.
Oh, you nailed it. You absolutely nailed it. It's what we're, you know, well, it's like watching a magician. In this case, it's a bad magician, but it's what's going on in the hand you're not watching.
Oh.
And this is, you know, this is the same thing. Do you remember the big right-wing tizzy over his recommendation for an amnesty for illegal workers and blah, 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 blah? Did that happen?
Golly, let me give that a big, long, concentrated thought. No, of course not. Because all of his right-wing nut buddies want to make sure that there is a never-ending flood of starving brown people to come here to take jobs away from us. This idea that the brown people are evil because they come here and we've got to punish them for wanting to avoid starvation. That's what Bill O'Reilly is really saying. I want to kill Mexicans because they're trying to avoid starvation.
What a guy.
Nice fella. True conservative, don't you think? Real compassionate, I'd say.
And a true knight, and a true knight of the Order of the Falafel.
Well, knight of the Columbus, of a different church basement than I recall. But anyway, he doesn't want to say that every right wing nut that's got 25 employees, that's a 45-year-old white male that's worked for this guy for 18 years, and now is somehow maybe going to have his wife quit working so they can pay the house off. He doesn't like the idea of paying that guy $14.81 an hour. He would rather see a guy that he could somehow teach those skills in a few months to sort of kind of get by for $6 an hour, a fella that is indeed not quite of this country. Ooh, does he have any voice in the matter? No. Does he have any recourse should this guy want to absolutely make mincemeat out of his life? No. All of these employers that love those little guys. Oh, no. Georgia's not going to stop that flow of people to screw the American worker. Just take a look at what he wants to do to Delphi.
Oh, my God. Yeah, $27 an hour down to $9. And those are union jobs. You know.
Oh, exactly.
If you can do that to a union guy, what can you do to some poor the dude that crawled over the border at death's door just hoping for that $5 an hour?
Yeah, that same little man that got this far into this country after he paid a coyote $2,500, and the coyote knows where that man's family lives south of the border. The debt of the dead migrant will fall on that man's family. Why do you think they're so motivated? Why do you think they'll do anything?
Hunger is a motivator. It's a profound motivator. It's a strong motivator.
And it's also a tremendous motivation in the sense of those men that smuggle those fellow brown brothers. The other brown men that bring them here know where that migrant lives, knows where his family is.
Yeah.
If he doesn't really, he'll do everything he can to convince that fellow that crossed the border. You know, you pay me what you owe me out of what you're making in the U.S. Or, hey, that 14-year-old daughter of yours, that 3-year-old daughter of yours, that 9-year-old son of yours, that 61-year-old mother of yours. And then he pauses. He doesn't have to complete.
No, there's nothing further need be said.
I see those men all over where I live. I wish they weren't here. I bear that man no ill will. I detest the man that will hire them and shrug. Well, gee whiz, if I didn't do this, my gracious, the people that own those McMansions there up on the hill, well, they couldn't afford to have their yard mowed if I didn't.
You know, no, Americans don't work for $4 an hour. Why, yeah, gee whiz, you know, why those folks living in them nice houses, why, they couldn't afford to have their yards mowed and their pools cleaned and their houses painted if it weren't for these willing workers, not these lazy Americans want $8, $9, $10 an hour, won't be able to have a living wage. Why, what's wrong? Oh, I better not say that.
Yeah. Beautiful, ain't it?
America spelled with three K's in the middle. Bag thing. That was 39 yards of pure inspiration. The other was 80, no, right at 80 yards of pure, do what the coaches tell me to do, pure north-south, and unfortunately, a very, very shaky call by a, thunder-informed NFL referee.
Yeah, it was a little dicey.
Coach Fisher had some very carefully chosen words about that on radio and TV today. And Coach Fisher is indeed the chairman of the Rules Committee right now. He's a very respected coach. And when he speaks, the rest, the Zebras, if they're going to listen, they might listen to Jeff Fisher. But those two penalties that Pac-Man reeled off by waving a flipper, you know, an old offensive lineman here, talking about just tucking that fist underneath your armpit and hitting them in the mouth with that elbow.
Yep.
Pac-Man tried to throw at his whopping 5'9", tried to throw a flipper at a 6'4 receiver in full stride, and it was comical.
Now, there's a little bit of a learning curve in the NFL, David.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Pac-Man is not going to bluff a 6'4 man that's got two Pro Bowls and 4 years of experience. Pac-Man's not going to bluff that so much. You know, and we kind of missed that one fellow that wants to talk about if you want a car, go save for a car. And
yeah, we'll be working on them.
I know they're listening. Come on, folks. You know, pony it up. Get ready. Step up, pick up the phone, dial the number, get waxed, and then go back and read, you know, listen to Rush for 2, 3, 4 more days and, you know, read the standard and then hope for the best and then get on the air and get waxed again. And
yeah, get a couple of drug-induced talking points.
Exactly. You know, slur your words so you'll be right in step with Mr. Flimbo. Well, I will indeed now get out of the way.
All right, David, thanks so much. It's always such a pleasure.
Thank you, Bob.
Later. All right. Let's go ahead and hit a break. Top of the hour on the way. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid. Damn it, Elvis, don't you know? You makes mama so proud. Before you ever made that record, before there ever was a son, before you ever lost that Cadillac, the Carl Perkins won. Mr. Phillips found old Johnny Cash and he was high before he ever took those pills, and he's still too proud to die. Mr. Phillips never said anything behind nobody's back. Like, damn it, Elvis, don't he know? He ain't no Johnny Cash. Mr. Phillips was the only man. Carl Perkins Cadillac.
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Okay. Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing. It's not an option. It's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible, a cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
Inside of me, all that guilt for all to see. Yes, I am American, from Normandy to Vietnam. History, and this advice sounds good to me. It's time to bring that bull to heel and our true hearts to reveal. Are we an empire all alone, throwing the world a rubber bone? Or can we export dignity, respecting those who disagree? Ha ha!
One, two, three, four. Joseph's last dream before he passed away. On the godforsaken Oklahoma day, he saw a purple sunrise through the mountain mist. He felt his first wife give him a perfect holy kiss. Face was shining brilliant in a sky of blue, and her smile told him he had no more to lose. Joseph's last dream then continued on. He saw a stillborn baby beside a mountain pond. He saw a young brave racing up the mountainside. They voted him their leader the day his daddy died. Last dream then turned into the times when gentleness could overcome the anger in his mind. Of giant herds of ponies with mountains to the east that were still unscarred by the white devouring beast. Beyond the dream, a woman said, "Come here quick, he's dying. His soul has left this awful place to the mountains flying."
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins next. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Bob.
All right, let's load it up and do it for one more hour. 6 minutes after nine, I'm Bob. This is Head On. Ably and capably assisted by the yeoman efforts of the lovely Agnes. Email in from our good friends Nanette and Paul. Hi, all. Did I understand that there is more than one way to email you guys? Yeah, that's true. Bob at headonradio.com and Agnes at headonradio.com. I think it's about time that the Democrats start fighting back. Yeah, we've been waiting for a while, haven't we? I just wish that they would get as tough as they have to be to get the truth out there. Agnes, I caught the part where Bob was talking about men owning women. It appears that he's been taught well. Oh, I study at the feet of the master. Mistress, whichever. Not sure.
Mistress.
Okay, that's fine.
Thank you.
And then it says, good job, Agnes. More women should learn from you. Oh, you know not what you wish upon us poor men. I kid. I joke.
Thank you.
You're more than welcome, dear.
I was thinking Nanette, not
you.
Well,
of course. Of course. Thanks for the email, Nanette. It's always good to hear from y'all. It's good to hear from everybody. The phone number is, of course, 304-658-3333 and 877, the number 4, head on, 877-443-2366. I'm going to get that thing memorized sooner or later, and we mentioned the email there. So, you want to get in touch, you know how to do it. We've had some conversation about the bird flu. You might be interested in this, and I mean, this was one of those stories you read. What the hell? Dateline, it's an Associated Press story. Dateline, Baytown, Texas. Fake flu shots were given out last week at a health fair at, wait for it, ExxonMobil Corp's Baytown Complex, and an investigation is underway, according to authorities. ExxonMobil spokeswoman Tracy A. Roberts said Thursday this past that the FBI told the company that what was administered was definitely not the flu vaccine. Now, this is from ABC News. Now we're moving into the speculation phase. It doesn't appear that the fake shots were harmful, but steps were being taken to ensure workers' safety, according to U.S. Attorney Chuck Rosenberg. ExxonMobil offered blood tests and counseling to the up to 1,000 employees who took part in the health fair at the oil company's vast complex of refineries and chemical plants just east of Houston. The FBI and U.S. Food and Drug Administration are investigating what was in the syringes and whether others might have received the fake vaccine as well, according to Mr. Chuck Rosenberg. Now, here's the operative paragraph. You'll know why. Gene Miller, another ExxonMobil spokeswoman, because a story like this takes at least two, said a doctor provided the shots in Exxon's first use of and I think our friend David from Nashville may have mentioned this last week. A doctor provided the shots in Exxon's first use of an outside contractor to administer the shots. She declined to identify the doctor because of the federal investigation. In the past, Miller said, company medical staff had offered flu shots at health fairs. That was in the past. Well, there's where those $10 billion in profits came from this quarter. They cut back all the company doctors and company nurses. No, sorry. But does a picture begin to emerge? That was Baytown, Texas. And I'm not alarmist. I'm not sitting here quaking in my boots. I haven't had my flu shot yet.
And you probably won't, because even the doctor's offices are out of the vaccine.
Really?
Really.
I thought we got that all cleared up after last year's British mustard factory turned flu shot vaccination factory debacle.
No. Most of the large retail stores did get the vaccine. I know Kmart's out in our area of the vaccine, but even the clinics are having a hard time getting the vaccine to give to the people who are at high risk.
Elderly and small children.
Exactly. And you're going to have a hard time getting a flu shot. Maybe Walmart's got some.
Oh, but I don't want no Walmart flu shots.
But there's not a whole lot of other people. And, you know, speaking of vaccines, who is it that owns stock in the bird flu vaccine?
Oh, Rumsfeld or Cheney? Oh, why am I not surprised?
Ah, the bird flu dance.
We're going to inoculate every chicken in the world. Now, what? God only knows what those poor people in Baytown, Texas got. And if it happened once with an outside contractor in Baytown, Texas, where else did it happen? Yeah, the tail end of the story mentions the fact that In May, a nurse in Minnesota named Michelle Torgerson. Yeah, sure, Michelle Torgerson.
Yeah.
You betcha. Pleaded guilty to dispensing a drug without a prescription, admitting she used diluted vaccine left over from an earlier clinic and pocketed the cash when she gave college student shots at $20 a pop.
Bad nursey.
Bad nursey indeed.
License revoked.
Well, but the thing... And you remember a few years back the scandal, God, was it in Kansas City? Where the pharmacist was watering down the chemo, the cancer drug? Remember that? And we're worrying about the bird flu? And I'm not trying to discount that over much, but not only do we have to worry about the disease, we have to worry about the greed monkeys who are shorting us on the vaccine. And the vaccine itself may be preserved, for all we know, with thimerosal. Is this the part where we cue up Louis Armstrong singing What a Wonderful World?
No, we clue up Brain Damage.
Yeah, okay, well do that, because we got to take a break. It's about 14 minutes after the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Yes, we can bomb most any land on CNN with marching bands. Pour ourselves an ice cold Coke. Make a war. Tell a joke. Over me, the fear and insecurity. Yes, I am American. From Pearl Harbor.
Hello, may I help you?
Hello, can I ask a few questions about the apartment you have on Park Street?
What was your name?
My name is Juan Hernandez.
It's been rented.
Oh, it's gone?
Hello?
Hello, my name is Sanjay Kumar. I am calling about the apartment on Park Street.
It's not available.
It's not available, but I just now saw it in the paper.
May I help you?
Hi, my name is Tyrone Washington. I'm calling about a place to rent on Park Street.
No longer available.
It's not available now.
Nope, sorry.
Oh, okay.
Hello?
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington. I'm calling about the apartment for rent on Park Street. Is that still available?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Oh, really? I'd love to make an appointment.
Housing discrimination is illegal. If you think you've been a victim because of your race, color, national origin, sex, religion, disability, or family status, call 800-669-9777 or visit fairhousinglaw.org. Fair housing, it's not an option, it's the law. Brought to you by HUD, the Ad Council, and LCCREF.
Hi, I'm Joanne Woodward. Ever notice how many things in life happen in a circle? The seasons, revolving credit, hula hoops, the spinning of the circle we call Earth, and recycling. Together, we've already made a difference. Sorting glass, plastic, separating cans, stacking newspapers. Now there are lots of products made from things we've already recycled. A paperclip, in a more daring life, a 56 convertible. A cereal box, once your Sunday paper. It all goes back to the circle. It starts when we recycle trash at home and at work. It's completed when we buy products made from recycled materials. How do you know the difference? Check the label for something called post-consumer recycled content. Then buy the highest percentage of it you can find. You'll save a tree, you'll save energy, and in your own way, you'll help save the world. Complete the circle.
For your free Buy Recycled shopping guide, call 1-800-2-RECYCLE. A message from the Ad Council and Environmental Defense. Finding the ways that work.
We'll be right back.
leaves on the grass. The lunatic is on the grass, remembering games and daisy chains and laughs. Got to keep the loonies on the path.
Without a doubt. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. You know, one of the nice things about this time of the year is you get that wonderful unfiltered, pasteurized, but unfiltered apple cider in the grocery store. And I usually have something sitting by for whistle moistening purposes. And this evening it's that nice unfiltered cider. You can take that, you know, put it on the stove, gently warm it with a cinnamon stick, a couple of cloves, maybe a couple of pieces of allspice. Get it nice and hot. We add honey to it. I've heard the Up Easters add maple syrup to sweeten a little bit. Man, put you right down at the end of the day. Beautiful stuff. The phone numbers, well, you're probably learning them about as well as I have by now. 304-658-3333 and 877, the number 4, Head On. 877-443-2366. And email to bob@headonradio.com, or for the burgeoning fan base of my lovely wife, Agnes, A-G-N-E-S, @headonradio.com. And on to the phones. Chris is with us. Hey, Chris. You're Head On.
We don't use real vaccine in Muskogee. We just mainline Texas tea. We all hang out down in Crawford. There's plenty of cocaine there, you see.
Ooh. I wasn't ready for that.
You never are.
No. There's no being ready for you.
Yeah. But the question of today is, have you rode your Cheney scooter today? Take it out and rub a little grease on it.
My scooter slipped its Cheney.
It got caught up in a quorum. Oh, we better get off this. I can go in.
You got a million of them.
I do, actually.
The frightening part.
Yeah. Well, I was telling Agnes, my wife heard it on Paul Harvey today, and I found the article about it. They're saying that sweat from a frog in Australia may be a link to curing AIDS.
Frog sweat.
Frog sweat.
Yeah. Link. Curing AIDS.
Yeah.
And if Paul Harvey says it, it has to be true.
Well, I looked at the article about it. Researchers at Vanderbilt are working on it.
Well, that's got to give it some credence. I mean, not exactly a shack in the middle of the woods, Vanderbilt.
No. But what I'm curious about, and you said I have a million of them, so here goes another one.
All right.
If you can use the sweat from a frog to cure AIDS, could you use W's nostrils to cure a strain of VD or something? I don't know.
Oh, God. I mean, I know we're still just on the Internet and we're still just in warm-ups, but, I mean, give me a break, man. I don't need that visual. Jeez, that could trigger flashbacks.
Anyway.
Nasty.
The mass report gives you your daily dose of reality.
Oh, yuck. Oh. But, you know, we are going to spend $7.1 Brazilian dollars inoculating chickens.
Oh, that brings me to something Tim Hillary told me.
Yeah.
He told everybody in the crowd that, hey, I was there right in front of him, so it was me.
Right, that counts.
That counts, yeah. He said, if the Lord is my shepherd, shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Well, if your Lord and Savior is a shepherd, then what does that make you?
Yep.
So, the chickens could be easily led. I think of the, what's the cartoon? Courage, a Cowardly Dog.
Yeah.
Where every time, just about every episode, the chicken from outer space comes in with the red eyes.
Yeah, that
to take over everything.
And let's see, what is it? That's an easy segue into on the Family Guy. The evil monkey in the closet. Yeah, the evil monkey in the closet.
Yeah, that reminds me of the Jerry Clower talking about they were going to use the monkey to hunt squirrels. and the dog and the monkey were going to work together. So I guess today we agreed that three monkeys and three dogs are going to study.
Well, you know, that,
we already know.
That's how David refers to Deer Leader, the chimp in charge.
Yeah. Well, there's the thing with Reagan there.
Yes, Bonzo.
Yeah, Bonzo.
Sure, sure.
I'm not going to do it.
But, yeah, well. Have you had your flu shot yet?
No, I haven't.
Well, don't get yours from ExxonMobil, okay?
I heard that. Yeah, they see that what they did, it's not really, of course, it's not really flu shot. It's all that oil they cleaned up with the paper towels from the Exxon Valdez.
Well, or from New Orleans, for that matter.
I may be going to New Orleans.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I may be going down there to work.
Hey, awesome.
Yeah, I can give you a bird's eye point of view.
Well, I hear the Café Du Monde has reopened, so there will be some redeeming values.
Well, my brother-in-law, you know, I told you, has a crew down there working.
Right.
And they may need, they can get them a house, they need somebody to take care of the house and basically make sure no one breaks in and do everybody's laundry and cook and everything. Of course, my seizures, I can't go out and work.
Right.
But I'm hoping to be able to.
That you can drive a washing machine.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that might not be, yeah, hey.
I can hot water just about anything.
That works.
Yeah. But.
Well, when will you find out?
Hopefully Thanksgiving. When he comes in.
Okay.
But
that'll be some good money involved.
Well, it's $500-$600 a week. But no, the workers there have to wear the hazmat suits and all that.
Right. The moon suits.
Yeah.
Are they in New Orleans or are they based outside and commuting in?
Well, no, right now they're sleeping in the tent cities. CNN called them migrant workers of the day. So next time I talk to them, I have to inform them.
No, they migrated from North Alabama.
Yeah, and they're living in tent cities. The curfew is 8 o'clock, and they have to buy their meals from the Red Cross, and they have to pay $5 to take a shower. So whatever the Red Cross is serving up is what you eat.
Wow. Hey, speaking of Florence real quick, Chris, I'm sure you found the pita and the goldfish story down there, right?
No, I haven't looked at the paper.
Oh, I mean, this is I've got it right here. Stand by. This hit our newspaper on October 29th. Headline, Church agrees to discontinue Fear Factor fish swallowing. Dateline Florence. No kidding.
Oh, my God. I think I did hear something.
Yeah, the First Assembly of God has agreed to discontinue its practice of swallowing live goldfish as part of its Fear Factor ministry.
Is that kind of like those idiots that get up there and lift the weights and bang?
I don't know. This one we're hanging on you, Chris. I mean, this is thank God it's not. It's another one of those things that, you know. Thank God it's not happening in West Virginia. You own this one.
Well, yeah. Talking about West Virginia, I noticed they were talking about on CNN today the website that Bush was referring to about the bird flu vaccine, and it said on this website it has state plans for several of the states, and I looked, and Alabama and West Virginia don't have one yet. But, the religious, I would say fervor, but it's not quite it. They call them the Bible Belters.
Yeah.
But I think.
Yeah, but they're gonna quit tormenting those poor little goldfish in the name of God down in Florence. I got to say, I feel better for it. Chris, always good to hear from you. We got to hit it.
All right.
Take it easy.
You got me on that one.
All right. Later.
What to say. Bye.
See ya. All right, we'll be back after the bottom of the hour. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Now and then they're just the same. Some things never seem to change. I know the world can't help but turn. How could it be we never?
Support our troops. We hear it practically every day. We read it in the papers, in yard signs, on bumper stickers. It's something we all agree on. Whenever and wherever the men and women of our armed forces are called, we send our support with them. It's something we all do. and supporting the USO is how it's done. For more than 60 years, the USO has tirelessly maintained a bridge back home for our soldiers, sailors, airmen, marines, and Coast Guardsmen around the world who fight to preserve the freedoms we hold so dear. The USO receives no government funding. It employs only private citizens and volunteers and depends entirely on the generosity of the American people to fulfill its mission. Help us support our troops. To find out more about the USO and how you can help, call us at 888-USO-5566 or visit our website at USO.org.
Hey, how you doing? Got a quick question.
Yeah?
Who was Rudolf Nureyev?
Rudy Nureyev.
Rudy.
Okay, I know this one.
Good.
Wasn't he a... Nureyev?
Nureyev.
Wasn't he a defenseman for the Maple Leafs? Sure about that? Could have been a goalie.
Yeah. Hey, how you doing? Who was Louis Armstrong?
That's easy. He was the first guy on the moon.
Really?
You know, one small step for man.
Sure, one giant leap for Louis. Hey, young lady.
Uh-huh?
Does the name Caravaggio mean anything to you?
Wasn't he the guy that went out with that mob guy's sister until he got whacked?
You know, no.
Are your kids as well-rounded as they could be? Kids who participate in the arts do better in school and in life. To learn more about the value of arts education, visit AmericansForTheArts.org. Because all kids should get to appreciate Nureyev's dance, Armstrong's horn, and Caravaggio's brush. Art. Ask for more. A public service message brought to you by Americans for the Arts and the Ad Council.
Everybody's saying I've been sick. I got some kind of damned old curse. They keep talking about my drinking. Now they don't care nothing about my thirst. There's no greater danger than trying to find yourself. Because there's no stranger than a man is to himself.
26 minutes or so left in the show, 26 minutes before the hour. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is a little dust-up that we like to call Head On. And, you know, I'm coming to think that the last half hour of the show should be for hitting the odds and ends. With perhaps emphasis on the word odd. And so let's do that. Just in case you missed it, you probably didn't, you smart folks, the liberals, the progressives, the Democrats. Setback for justice in, where else, Texas today. Apparently the presiding judge, or the substitute judge, whatever you want to call him, Bell County District Judge C.W. Duncan, apparently got some of those funny flu shots in at the ExxonMobil health fair, because Texas District Judge Bob Perkins, who was in charge of the Tom DeLay proceedings, was removed today from hearing the case. Why? Well, if you were following it, you know. He was removed because Judge Perkins had the unmitigated gall, daggum him, had the unmitigated gall to give a couple of bucks to moveon.org. Because Judge Perkins is, you see, a Democrat. And Dick DeGuerin, who is Tom DeLay's lawyer, and is incidentally a Democrat, moved to have Judge Perkins removed from the case because he's a Democrat. Wow. So, the next time you get a traffic ticket, something like that, let's all go in front of the judge, well, if he's a Republican, mind you, and say, Judge, I demand you be removed from this case because I'm a registered Democrat and you're a Republican, and the standard has now been set to remove any judge who is hearing a case in which the defendant is of the opposite political party. Do you believe this? Now, I make the occasional Texas joke, whatever, but, you know, there's a lot of good people down there. A lot of Republicans, too, but a lot of good people in Texas. Our good friend Rick Goodner, author and dedicated servant of folks who are in rather desperate straits. He's down there. Good Democrat. But my God, there are some, you know, and I'm not the first to say it. God knows Molly Ivins says it all the time. There are some people down there that are crazier than a sprayed roach. And apparently, Bell County District Judge C.W. Duncan is one of those crazy people. Dick DeGuerin, Democrat, argued for Perkins' removal because he contributed in 2004 to John Kerry and MoveOn.org. Meanwhile, when fundraising efforts slowed down, he took in $2.2 million for his re-election campaign between January and September. That's more than twice the $779,000 he raised during the same period 2 years ago. My God. And that number includes $5,000 from Walmart. Bart Kopp had mention of it on his page. I'd seen the story a few days ago. Walmart. Is that a marriage made in hell or what? Walmart and Tom DeLay. Now the marriage I'd like to see between Tom DeLay and Walmart is when the day comes when the only damn job bug spray DeLay can get is to put on that stupid blue vest and stand there at the front of it. Welcome to Walmart!
They won't hire him. He's too old.
No, that's what they hire older Americans for those jobs.
They're trying to get rid of them.
That's
Have you
true.
Not read that?
Yeah, I read the memo. I got the memo.
And did you know in 1995, 5% of all of Walmart's products that was non-food items 5% came from China. Today, 70% comes from China.
Oh, Walmart is a bigger trading partner with China than some entire countries. Yeah, oh yeah. The Chi-Com complex at Bentonville, Arkansas is bigger than some of their embassies in other countries. Oh yeah, baby.
Bam.
No. No, do not compare me with Emeril.
Sorry, the Ewok.
No bams, no garlic.
The Ewok got to me.
The defendant's motion to recuse Judge Perkins is, these are the words of Ronnie Earle. The defendant's motion to recuse Judge Perkins is, to borrow from Shakespeare, much ado about nothing, Earle wrote. The defendant's brief fails to cite any case as authority for the proposition that a judge should recuse himself or be disqualified from sitting in a case merely because he has previously exercised his constitutional right to make political contributions. Yeah, wait a minute! Wait just a cotton-picking minute. If I cast back in my dim and pitted memory, didn't I hear, haven't I heard Flush Flemball and the rest of those right-wing neo-Nazis, haven't I heard him squealing most porcinely that making political contributions was the highest form of political speech? My friends, it is a First Amendment right to express your political views by giving to the candidate, preferably the Republican candidate, the conservative candidate of your... No, wait a minute. Wait. Oh, yeah. Oh, I love it when the fix kicks in. The Republican candidate of your choice. So, in essence, didn't Judge Bob Perkins get his First Amendment rights trampled today? Well, he would have if he was a Republican. His First Amendment rights would have been trampled, but he's a Democrat, so Texas was, Bell County District Judge C.W. Duncan was, what, protecting the Republic? Go figure. So, I don't know what the next move is in this case. But my God, now they'll appoint a Republican to hear the case, and that's somehow more fair? You know, I thought the whole purpose of that black robe was, you know, there's a reason it's not the Joseph coat of many colors kind of robe. It's a black robe. It's uniform. It's just a, it says nothing. It imparts or portrays neutrality and blind justice and all of that hooey that we don't believe in anymore because the Republicans are trying to take it away.
It's Alice's restaurant.
Well, it'll be interesting to see what the next move is. Other odds and ends, the scooter has been replaced. The scooter has slipped its chainy. Vice President Dick on Monday appointed his counsel, David Addington, as chief of staff to replace the scooter, who became the first member of a sitting member of an administration to be indicted in 138 freaking years Friday. And John Hanna, I thought he used to play on the offensive line for the Crimson Tide. Maybe it's a different one. John Hanna had served on the National Security Staff since March 2001 as assistant to the Vice President for National Security Affairs. He's been moved up because Libby was, the scooter was scooting back and forth between both positions. Damn, he got around on those crutches, didn't he? So... We got two new criminals to watch. Okay, break time. And we'll take it on home after this. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
just a kid. I'm six.
I'm nine.
I'm four and a half.
And I've got asthma.
You know just how upset I can get when I have an asthma attack.
And I know that you want to do all that you can do to help me.
But you might not know
about all the different stuff that can make me have an asthma attack.
Or all the simple things you can do to fight my asthma.
You can fight it with a bear.
You can fight it with a duck.
You can fight it with a wrench.
Put my teddy bear in the freezer to wipe out dust mites.
Dry off rubber duckies and fix leaks to get rid of mold.
Because mold can start my asthma attacks too.
Discover other simple ways to prevent an asthma attack. Call 1-866-NO-ATTACKS or visit noattacks.org. A public service message brought to you by the U.S. EPA, the Ad Council, and this station.
Thanks for doing all you can to help me out.
Because I don't want to feel like a fish with no water.
Roof fall accidents have declined significantly in recent years, but they still continue to claim the lives of too many working miners. Hello, I'm Bob Friend with the Mine Safety and Health Administration. No miner has to die from a roof fall accident. Miners and mine operators can take steps to reduce the likelihood of these tragic accidents in underground mines. Always follow the approved roof control plan for your mining operation. Make required roof examinations before starting work. Look at the roof closely, listen, and sound it out. Install additional roof support when you encounter adverse roof conditions. Always use maximum supervision and oversight when performing retreat mining operations. Never, ever walk or travel under unsupported roof. Make the right decision. Focus more attention on roof control in underground mines. Thank you for listening.
So, which one's yours?
The one at bat.
Strike two.
Oh, that's okay, Chris. Only my kid could strike out in T-ball. Oh, run, Chris, go!
Looks like he's having some trouble running.
Oh, he's wandering way off the baseline.
It's like he can't see.
Oh, my gosh, his helmet is too big.
It's as big as a bucket.
You know, I must have gotten him an adult one. What was I thinking?
You're out.
Oh.
When safety equipment doesn't fit, it's game over. That goes for your kid, too. If they're too big for a car seat, that doesn't mean they're the right size for an adult safety belt. If they're under 4'9", they need a booster seat. It raises them up so the safety belt fits properly. And the right fit makes all the difference to their future. To learn more, visit www.boosterseat.gov. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
She don't even know her name. No one there knows where they come from. Could have been Abel, could have been Cain. She was raised by loving hands down by the Gulf of Mexico. Her savior was a preacher man. They loved her like she was their own. The one thing they could not give to her, though they tried with all of their might. Yeah, they could not fill the emptiness she felt when she lay.
All right, a little less than 11 minutes before the hour, and let's end with a giggle. For God's sakes, let's do. I don't know how it happened, but somewhere out there, I have communicated with a public relations person who has put my contact information. You know, it's the same email ad you've got, bob@headonradio.com. And all of a sudden, I'm on the email list for the American Enterprise Institute the Center for Conservative Studies, and all of these wingnut outfits. And if you think, if you want to see, and, you know, this is one of those where the magician never shows you the false bottom in the hat where the rabbits come through. If you want to see coordination at work, you need to see some of the stuff that, the Samuel Alito stuff was banging into my email box before George Bush even announced it. I'm looking at this stuff, what the hell? But it was ready. It was go, 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 go. These guys are so coordinated. It's pathetic. So I get some truly bizarre stuff. Now, we had an email from our buddy Kelly. Kelly says, not equipped with the phonage at this point, but I'm listening. Please, please, please keep it up. I saw Rockefeller on C-SPAN defending his party earlier today. Odd as that may seem, these guys have the Republicans on the run, and we should drive it home. Should drive them into the sea. But the thing is, I was tickled pink. I'm like Kelly and our friend Peter in Tallahassee. It was gorgeous to watch Democrats punch back today with what they did in the Senate. By tomorrow, the entire Republican machine will be in high dudgeon and full steam. And my inbox will be full of commentary from the American Enterprise Institute and the CSI and the ICS and the DEF and the GHI. And all of these outfits have enough money to burn whole herds of soaking wet elephants. And so I got one today, and this is the whole point. This is from special guests. Subject. You're really just not ready for this. Subject. All caps. Cover up at the Clinton Corral. Library docs missing. Interview opportunity. And it gives you your contact person, their phone number. Kathleen Willey, and this is from an AP photo. Kathleen Willey left Candace Jackson, author of Their Lives, The Women Targeted by the Clinton Machine. What year is this? Really? Is it 19? Is it 10 years ago? Is it 1995? Cover up at the Clinton Corral. And Juanita Broderick speak with reporters outside Bill Clinton's presidential library Wednesday, October 26, 2005 in Little Rock, Arkansas. Dateline Little Rock, Arkansas, November 2nd, 2005. Bill Clinton sexual assault accusers Kathleen Willey and Juanita Broderick have turned in their findings regarding missing documents from the Clinton Library in Little Rock, Arkansas. Author Candace E. Jackson, who accompanied them on the investigation of the library. Jesus, they're investigating libraries now.
What do these women do for a living now?
Some say it's the oldest profession in the world.
And they're searching his library. And where is he?
God only knows.
Isn't he in New York with Hillary?
Well, wait, let's see.
Let it go, girls. He's done. Okay? Let him alone. Go away.
They will never let him alone. They will never, ever let him alone. The trio toured the library firsthand to see, in particular, how library historians depicted Clinton's treatment of women. They also worked to raise charitable donations to groups who help abused women. Well, okay, I can live with that part.
Yeah, that's cool.
Their findings include that notebooks containing the presidential schedule for November 29th, 1993, the day when Clinton allegedly assaulted Willie in the Oval Office, were inexplicably missing from their display, raising the question of whether they were removed to prevent the image of Willie holding the documents from being photographed. What the hell? Now, giggle, for God's sakes, you gotta, this is funny. This is funny in that sad, pathetic, sort of star-bellied snitches kind of way. This is just pitiful. I mean, you Bart Cop fans, was it Kathleen Willie that Bart went out and just saved from absolute utter ruin, and then she turned around and stabbed him in the back? Was that her? And these people are out there, the notebook's missing. I mean, Jesus, this is Captain Queeg in the canyon. Ah, they thought I was crazy, but I fooled them. I caught them with the strawberries. You know, damn! Do you see? They won't let go. We got a guy nominated for the Supreme Court of the United States who think women are freaking property. And Kathleen Willie and Juanita Broderick are touring the Bill Clinton Library looking for the missing notebook! Holy smoke, Batman! All right, I'm going to close the mics and giggle for a while now. The show is at its end. Of course, the show is produced every night by my lovely wife, Agnes, who is making immense progress in her efforts. Doing a damn fine job, I think. Agnes at headonradio.com. Let her know you care. Also, of course, engineered by Randy Kerbway. And announced by our good friend Brian Reznor, and brought to you by the Union Carpenters and Millwrights of the great state of West Virginia. They're building the American dream. And as ever, more than anything else, RMR, it's all for you.